Finally, finally, here we are. What, 1/4 into the class, and we're finally going to define and describe and cover these market averages, these market indices that we've been using all semester long. Oh, well, yeah, that's how it works. How can we say that stocks have returned approximately 10% over the past 90 years? They've actually done a little bit better. The industry uses market averages and market indexes. These are benchmarks, standards, measurements, lists. They're really just a list of stocks or other securities. In this case, we're discussing stocks. They are used to measure the general behavior of securities prices by reflecting either the average price behavior, that's a market average, or the relational price behavior, a market index, of representative groups of securities at any given point in time. And you can't help but hear about these on the news every day. The Dow went down, the Nasdaq went up. What are they? What's going on here? The differences between a market average and a market index are subtle, and most people don't even know there are differences. So we're going to learn the differences, but you'll quickly forget about them until somebody points them out again. And you go, oh yeah, I remember Pano said something about that. So slide 48. What are the differences? Well, market averages use share price calculation. They look solely at the price of the stock without regard to the market value. And the most important one is the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which we'll discuss in just a moment. Market-weighted calculations are market indices. And those are most other measurements that you see, most other benchmarks that you hear about, most other indices that you hear about. They take into account the actual size of the security. And in this case, we're talking about stocks. That's the stock price times the number of shares outstanding. That's how we calculate the market capitalization. And we'll do that in a further presentation down the line pretty soon. The larger the market share, the more influence the security will have in the index. And the poster child, if you will, is the Standard & Poor's 500 Index, which we've been using all semester long. The 500 largest companies based in the United States. Market-weighted calculations were generally regarded as a better measurement until the bubble of the late 1990s and until now, more later. Let's take a look at the granddaddy of them all, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. You know, folks, they should get rid of the word industrial because it now has more non-industrial stocks than industrial stocks. But this is the one that you always hear about. If I were king of the world, I would just tell the news organization, stop reporting the Dow. It's not that important. The S&P 500 is a better measure, but that's got its problems. The Dow is only 30 stocks, but they are large companies, high quality stocks, selected for total market value, broad public ownership, and believed to reflect overall market activity. I disagree, but that's what Dow has put forth. They use only share price calculation. So it's certainly, as we said, the most famous. It's also called the Dow or the Dow Average. Sometimes you'll see DJIA. It changes from time to time as companies and industries evolve. And that's why right now the economy is less and less manufacturing and industrial, and more services and other types of consumer goods and the like. So there are now more non-industrial stocks than industrial stocks. Now here's a cute little story. Dow Jones, the company that publishes the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, they're privately owned by the Bancroft family, very high, blue-blooded family, descendants of Mr. Charles Dow. And they kept it private for decades. Until 2007, when Rupert Murdoch of Fox News fame came a-calling and wanted to buy the company. Now, some people in the family didn't want to sell to Rupert Murdoch because of his reputation for not the most accurate journalism. Cost him over $800 million one time because they lied and got caught in a lie. But Mr. Murdoch was not deterred. At the time, it was generally regarded that Jal Jones was worth about $3 billion. He offered them $5 billion. And the family members said, ooh. So now it's owned by Fox News. And it appears that they have either leased or sold the Dow Jones Industrial Average and all their other indices to Standard & Poor's. Because it looks like Standard & Poor's is now calling the shots. If you can figure it out, if you can you dig deep, because they're a little cagey about how they say, oh yes, we're doing this for Dow Jones. Are we really? I don't know. Who owns it? I don't know. Figure you can find it out. Please tell me, because I gave up a little while ago. So here they are, folks. Here are the 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And you know most of these companies. You might not know a few of them. Maybe you don't know who Amgen is. They're a genetic engineering firm, pharmaceuticals. Who's Goldman Sachs, sometimes called Government Sachs, because the people in Goldman Sachs often wind up in the Treasury, and then they go back to Goldman Sachs after a while. Who's Honeywell? Well, there's a good chance that there's a device in your home or the building you work in or the school you're in that is made by Honeywell. Let's see, who else? You might have heard of Merck. They're a pharmaceutical company. Salesforce, what do they do? It's supposed to be lowercase. I can't figure that one out. But we use it at Southwestern. We use Salesforce's software. Procter & Gamble, Tide, Pampers, Charmin, Crest toothpaste, Gillette razors. Yeah, they make consumer products. 3M is an interesting company. Check them out. They also make consumer products. Have you heard of Post-it notes or, yeah, Scotch tape? Travelers is an insurance company. United Healthcare is an insurance company. Verizon, you know who they are. Visa, Walgreens, Boots. What's the Boots part? Oh, check it out. They merged with a Canadian company. I don't know why, but they did. That's just something to do with taxes. So when you hear that the Dow went up 100 points or 200 points or down 300 points or whatever, first of all, don't listen. Forget the points. The percentage is what's important. Hopefully they'll tell you what the percentage is because that's more important. Plus, because it's only 30 stocks, if one company does really well, it could boost up the Dow. Or if one or two companies do really poorly, it can make the Dow look really bad. Because most of these companies, they don't move that much. You know, they're very large companies. So the Dow, if I were king, get rid of the Dow. But it's the most popular. It's the most, it's not the oldest, actually. The transport index is actually a little older. But you're going to hear about the Dow. Just think large, blue chip. Well, we'll talk about blue chips later. Big companies. And here are some of the other, there are dozens more, of the Dow Jones averages. The transportation average, that's actually the oldest. The Dow was 1896, I forget when the transport came out, when Charles Dow and his partner created the transport average. And that's meant to show what's going on in a few months or a leading indicator of the economy. Because before the stuff can be built, the raw materials have to get to where they're used. And then once it's built, it has to go to where it's going to be sold. But the economy is a lot less manufacturing than it used to be, so it's not that important. Utilities, obviously, utilities are important because nobody wants to take cold showers in the dark, but they're not growing very fast, so it's kind of a boring index. You put all three together and you get the composite average. Now, you're not going to hear about the utilities average. You're not going to hear about the composite. You may hear about the transport average. But mostly you're going to hear about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is more non-industrial stocks than industrial stocks. Now, what about these next two? The U.S. Total Stock Market Index or the U.S. Completion Total Stock Market? You know, I really wish they would not have changed the name. The original names were Wilshire 5000 and Wilshire 4500. Wilshire was, I'm not sure if it's still in business, another one of these companies that made these lists, these benchmark indices, and they created the Wilshire 5000, which was large companies, medium-sized companies, and small companies. And then Dow Jones, they made some kind of deal with Dow Jones, and so it started calling it the Dow Jones Wilshire 5000 Total Market Index. And then eventually they kicked Wilshire out the door, and now it's the Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index, And I don't know if you can remember that, but I certainly can't. I still call it the Wilshire 5000. And then Wilshire did something really interesting, I thought. They took away the 500 largest companies. See, the 500 largest companies in the United States, that's the Standard & Poor's 500. So they took the 5,000 and lopped off the top 500. And that was meant to show what was going on with small companies and medium-sized companies. So in other words, the big companies are gone. And again, Dow thought that was a great idea, so they made a deal with them, called it the Dow Jones Wilshire 4500, and then kicked Wilshire out the door. And now it's the Dow Jones U.S. Completion Total Stock Market Index. What? Who makes up these names? Now, this should look familiar, folks. Do you remember Chapter 2 and the Thrift Savings Plan? That's the S Fund. The S Fund, meaning small cap companies, and we saw in the assignment that some of those companies really aren't that small, but these are the stocks that make up that S Fund. Right. So this is important. These two are important. The Total Stock Market Index and the Completion Total Stock Market Index. I still call them the Wilshire 5000 and the Wilshire 4500. Now, the Internet Index, again, Dow Jones has many of these, but this one's quite an interesting one because in the late 90s and then in 2000, the Internet bubble was raging. It was the new technologies, blue skies, productivity gains as far as the eye can see. And the Dow Jones Internet Index proceeded to lose 94% of its value. Do you see why we caution against the next big thing that comes along the line, down the line? Yeah. Slide 52. Okay, here it is. The Standard & Poor's 500 Index. The S&P 500. The S&P... very popular with index funds and ETFs. These are 500 stocks chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. These are the 500 largest companies based in the United States. There was a time when they let a few foreign companies in, but no more. They've taken them out. This uses market value weighting. It looks at the size of the company, not only the price of the company. And it's a very popular index and used by many index funds and ETFs. As we, if you did the bonus assignment in Chapter 2, you'll see the top 10 in the S&P 500. Because the S&P 500 is market-weighted, it was affected by the internet bubble of the late 1990s in a bizarre manner. The market values of a small percentage of technologies companies were inflated to extremes. This skewed the index even more toward these companies. Consequently, in 1998, 10% of the gain of the S&P 500 was due to one stock. This same phenomenon is currently in play with the top 10 companies having an outsized influence on the index. You've heard of the Magnificent Seven. Before they called them that, they were the Fangs. Last year, they made up some 70% of the return of the index. They make up almost 30%. If you did the top 10, if you did the bonus assignment in Chapter 2, you find that the top 10, it's actually 11 because Google's counted twice, made up over 30%. Now think about that, folks. 10 stocks make up over 30% of an index that has 500 companies in it. So maybe we should really call it the S&P 10. 50 stocks make up over 50%. Is that index really diversified? Now, I'm not trying to disparage these companies. They're all very strong competitors and very involved in the future of our economy and our lives. But still, why do we buy index? Why do we buy mutual funds? Professional money management. If it's an index fund, there's no management. They just look at the list of companies on the S&P 500 and buy them. The other reason we buy mutual funds, diversification. So are you really diversified when you think you own 500 companies, but 30%, 33% or so, are actually just 10 companies? Well, the parachutes had better be very, very large if one or two or three of these Magnificent Seven become the ignoble. I just I was just trying to come up with the I can't think of the word. The not so magnificent companies. We'll see. Stay tuned for further developments. And then Standard & Poor's, I have a hard time believing this, but they say they have thousands of indices. Literally, I know there are hundreds, but they on their website, they say they have thousands. So the 400 are industrial companies, the 400 mid-cap companies, the 600 small-cap companies. You put them all together, the 500, the mid-cap 400, and the small-cap, you get the 1500 index. And then there are transportation, utilities, financials, global, international sector indices. You don't have to worry about any of these. But what you'll see is that many index funds and ETFs will mimic or use these indices to make the decisions on what to buy. And some of these indices are very, very narrow, very concentrated. So we like mutual funds for diversification. Well, some people say, no, I want to be concentrated. And we wish them a whole lot of luck because they could do very, very well. It's a dual-edged sword. They could do very, very poorly. And that's why I love diversification. And we'll talk about diversification in detail later on. But it's the old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And with some of these indices, if you buy those index funds or ETFs, which are basically index funds, you are not being diversified. But that's okay. Put a little bit on your plate, as we talked about in Chapter 2. Okay, now, the New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, they have their own indices. And you'll see them every once in a while. But the one that you see now more and more is the NASDAQ Composite Index. That's often referred to as the tech index because that's where many of the technology companies are based in the NASDAQ. Yeah, it's not all. I mean, Starbucks, are they a technology company? I don't know. But that's why we often look at the NASDAQ for what's going on in the tech sector. And currently, you'll see on many websites, you see the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ. And it's invariably, you'll see the Dow go up a little bit, the Standard & Poor's go up a little bit more, and the NASDAQ go up a lot. Or vice versa. You'll see the NASDAQ get far farther than the S&P 500 and the Dow. And as we said, one company doing well or badly in the Dow can skew that index. The NASDAQ 100 also, which is the top 100 non-financial firms. You don't see that too often. You usually see the NASDAQ composite. The NASDAQ composite went from 800 in 1995 to 5,000 in the year 2000. Wow. It then dropped 80% between March of 2000 to October 2002 to 1,200 before starting to recover. Now, it has since recovered and eclipsed 5,000. But again, it's not the same index. Many of those companies that were in the index were gone. They went through bankruptcy. They disappeared. Does anybody remember AOL, America Online? Yeah. So that's why these things are imperfect at best and misleading often. But that's one of the ones we want you to remember. You're going to see the worksheet at the end. The NASDAQ Composite Index is one of those indices that we want you to be able to commit to memory. Then, well, we're doing a little bit of reviewing here because these two are very important, as we said. The Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index, which is competing with the S&P 500 Total Market Index and MSCI, who are they? Stands for Morgan Stanley Capital International. Broad Market Index, and the same thing is true for the Extended or Completion Stock Market Index. I like Wilshire 5000 and Wilshire 4500. Why couldn't they keep them? I don't know, but they can't. And so these two are two of the ones we want you to commit to memory because the Dow Jones Wilshire 5000, the Wilshire 5000, is meant to show you what's going on in the entire stock market, large companies, medium-sized companies, and small companies. And the Completion is meant to show you what's going on with medium-sized and small companies. And those of you who work for the federal government, that's your S fund right there. Oh, by the way, the C fund is the S&P 500, right? The Standard & Poor's 500 is the C fund. Okay, now, a few others that are often talked about in the the media, are the Russell 2000. And that is meant to show what's going on with small companies. Russell is another company, Frank Russell Associates, another company that has been making indices for decades. They started with their top 1,000 largest companies, as opposed to the S&P 500. This is the top 1,000 companies by size. And then the top 3,000. And then what they did is they lopped off the top 1,000 and came up with the Russell 2000. So that's from 1,000. Stock 1001 up to 2000 to 3000. So it's 2000 companies, but it's meant to show what's going on with small companies. So you'll often, not often, but sometimes you'll see people on the internet or on television say, you know, the Russell 2000 really exploded today or really fell down because they're small companies. They're much more volatile. So they will often do much better than the S&P 500 or even the NASDAQ, or much worse than them. So we watch those, we watch the Russell 2000 for what's going on with small companies in the United States. Now, all these so far have been United States driven. Many years ago, a company called Capital, which is actually the parent company for American funds, was investing outside the United States. And they said, you know what, we really don't have a measure, we don't have a benchmark to see how we're doing. So they created the World Index and the EAFE. And that's, you'll also hear people say EAFE, but they realize that that's not a good idea. They're making the index that they're measuring themselves from. That's a conflict of interest. So they sold them to Morgan Stanley. So now it's called Morgan Stanley Capital International. It's separate from the Capital Group, the people who run the American funds. And they created the World Index, which was the global developed world. And they also created the EAFE. But you also hear people say EAFE, Europe, Australia, and the Far East. So the World Index was global. It still is. I'm sorry, it still is. And it meant the United States and everybody else. But it meant the developed world. Canada, Western Europe, South Africa, who else? Australia, Japan, Singapore, Hong Kong. You see, that was the developed world at the time. Remember, this is the 1970s. And so they then created the EAFE, which took away the United States. So in other words, how are we doing outside the United States? So it still had Canada in it, as I remember, which I thought maybe not such a good idea because, you know, North America is so tied to one another in the United States and Canada and now Mexico. But the problem with these two is they never added the developing world. They didn't start, you know, because now Latin America is getting into the act, Africa, Eastern Europe, Russia, China, the Philippines, Indonesia. What's going on? It's disappearing. Why is it disappearing? What did I do? Come back there. Go back there. What's going on? My apologies. My what is going on now? Where are the captions? The captions disappeared. Why did the captions disappear? Why did you do this to me? I'm going to... I don't know what happened to the captions, folks. My apologies. Hang on a minute. I'll see if I can cut this out here. Captions. They're back. Now they're back. I don't know what happened. My apologies. I don't know what happened. It decided to be ornery. So let's get that smaller again. Okay, so the captions disappeared, but now they're back, and where was it? So what they did is they did not include the developing world. So instead of just adding the developing world to the World Index and the EAFE, they created two new indexes, the All Country World Index and the All Country World Index ex-USA. Who makes these names up? But I don't, so I'm not, you can't blame me. I would have told them. But by the way, you don't have to remember MSCI. You don't have to remember Morgan Stanley Capital International. But you should be able to recognize the World Index and the EAFE and the All-Country World Index and the All-Country World Index ex-USA. And, of course, Standard & Poor's and the others have their own also. Now, we want you to go through stock worksheet number one. because that contains the 8 indexes that you should know by name and should be able to recognize when you see them, and hopefully you'll memorize them for when somebody asks you, what is this EFA? Why this? I says it's all EFA. What is this World Index? What is this Russell 2000? See if you can do that, okay? Memorize that puppy. And it's going to be on the exam. But more importantly, it's just important for you to know these. Remembering that there are hundreds, probably thousands of these, you just have to know 8. Is that a deal? I think that's a deal. Okay, excuse me here. All right, so now, when you turn on the telly or log into your favorite website, you're going to see this. Oh my goodness, look at today's unstable stock market index mania. The Dow started at 38,500 and whatever, and then skyrocketed up to 38,595. And then when in a roller coaster downward plunge at 2 p.m. To here, and then came back and ended pretty much where it started the day. It pretty much ended where it started the day. This is what you're going to see on the news, right? Right. What are they doing? There's a wonderful book called How to Lie with Statistics. It was written in the 1950s, so all the numbers are wrong. But it shows you how people use statistics to lie to you. And what are they doing here? They're just showing you a tiny little piece of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or the S&P 500, or the NASDAQ, or whatever, whichever index we're talking about. Because they want to sell eyeballs. They want to sell advertising. Because if they showed you the whole Dow Jones Industrial Average, this is what it would look like. Stock market index ennui. You like that word, ennui? It means beyond boredom. Yeah, today's stable stock market. You're not going to see this on the news, will you? No, because that doesn't sell eyeballs. It doesn't sell advertising. And so let us go back to a graph that we saw in a previous presentation where we talked about volatility. Remember, we saw how volatile 2023 was. Our $10,000 went up and then went down and then went up and then went down and then went up and up and up. If we show you the entire amount from 0 to 12,000, it doesn't look as scary, does it? No, it doesn't. And I got to tell you, folks, I love when we get to this slide in the face-to-face class, because you will often, I glance around the room as quickly as possible to see people's reactions, and you will often see literally people's faces relax. You could just see them go, oh, yeah, it's not so bad. You know, losing a little bit of money, and it's not the end of the world. And we know that if the world ends, it doesn't matter where we keep our money. So focus on the long term. Look at the graph that you won't see on the nightly news and realize that I didn't lose that much money. And you know what? It's going to come back. And if it doesn't come back, who cares? Meet you at the beach. I'll bring the vodka. You bring the marshmallows. We'll watch the world burn. Cool? Remember, investing is simple, but it ain't easy. So whatever we can do to deal with these scary emotions that we have to deal with, I think it's important and useful. And you, as rising investment gurus, are going to help your friends and family do the same. To think long term and not worry about the day to day, week to week, month to month even, machinations of the markets. Cool. Thank you so much again for being in our class. We're all so proud and honored, all of us at Southwestern. Think of how much you have learned, and we've got still a long way to go, but you are awesome. We are proud of you. See you in our next presentation, dear students.